D-Mace, Fingit, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Before we get started today, I must have done something that ticked Derek off.
It didn't necessarily tick me off at all. I'm very observant. And, you know, when you've been working with someone for a long time, you sort of pick up on their habits of things they're doing. Not that they're bad, but just little habits that people got. So you pick up on them. And as I pulled in this morning, you know, it hit me. Like, I saw your car sitting there. I'm like, okay, Adam's here, as he usually is. But I said, well, the parking lot seems to be a little free today. You know, and you got the parking space right in the front, the ideal parking space right there in the front. But I wondered, like, well, if he has the parking space right in the front, why didn't he pull in? I mean, why didn't he bag in? I've come to understand now there are two types of people in this world. There are those that pull in and those that back in. Okay? He's a pull-in guy, Adam. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. Cool. David and Nick are back-end guys. I'm a back-end guy.
You're a back-end guy.
Yeah, or person. What are you, Willie? I'm going to assume, and I can't be wrong, because, again, I'm picking up on habits. When you come in, you don't seem to back in. It seems you just go right. You go right in. You head first. Boom. I'm parking.
To be fair, Willie rolls up at 10:59 for our 11 o'clock show, so he may not have time to back
in. But no. At times. Willie, it doesn't matter. Willie's a pull-in guy.
I will back in if I am going to such as a Predator game or another kind of game where—
To get out quick.
Got to get out quick.
See, I'm a back-end guy. One of the reasons is because I like to get in and out quickly. Another is safety for me, because I get to back up all the way against like the wall or something, and I can see everybody coming. So I get in my car and I can see people coming at me, as opposed to getting in my car and now everybody's behind me. And I would advise all women, if you are able to back in— I tell my daughter the same thing. If you are able to back in, because it gives yourself the ability to see what's in front of you when you get in your car. Because we all like to get in our car, fiddle with our phones, put our seatbelt, all this stuff that we love to do that we shouldn't. We should just get in our car and drive away. But we don't. So women, importantly, young women, if you have your dad, your brother, ask them to teach you, or your mom, ask them to teach you how to back in. Because believe me, it is a headache to start off, but once you figure it out, it's clean selling. But which one are you, people? Which one are you, our listeners? Are you a back-end type of person, or are you a pull-in type of person?
And let's be grown-ups about this.
Yes.
I know you're going to make certain jokes about backing in or pulling in. Let's not do
that. What are you talking about?
Let's keep it clean. Let's just keep it clean.
I tend to pull in.
Okay.
I will occasionally back in. Mm-hmm. I like a good pull-through spot where you can drive through
the first spot
to get to the second spot. But if there's there's one thing that pisses me off when I'm driving, it's people who insist on backing in busy parking lots or parking garages, and they hold up the line while everybody else is waiting to park.
Yeah, those people.
That is the absolute worst.
See, I don't mind that if you know what you're doing. But if you don't know what you're doing, you got to keep pulling in. No, don't. Learn how to become an expert at it first before you start trying to, you know, back in when there's congestion in the parking lot or the, parking garage. Be an expert at it. But if you're not an expert and the coast is clear, back in, you know. No, back that big car in, man. And then you sit it, boom, put it in park. Now you can see everything. So are you, listeners, are you a pull-in person? There's nothing wrong with that. Or are you a back-end person? Are you part of the cool bunch that like to back in, you know? Which one are you?
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gino says, back in people, do it right. Pulling people are rude because they just back up out of the spot, not able to see cars coming by, making them stop and watch you struggle. Worse if those people that pull in take 3 to 4 attempts to back out of the spot.
Yeah, that's the part that I dislike. When I'm getting ready to go, not only the safety part, but also backing up, having to watch the traffic, you know, look over you, and all this other stuff. No, I just want to be able to see everything and pull straight out. So that's the type of guy I am. And I know there are probably more back-end people than there are pull-in people.
I don't think so.
I think so.
There's a lot more pull-in
people. No, not in this new day and age, no. Back-end guy.
Just look at the cars in the parking lot. How many of them are backed in? How many are pulled in?
I would say half, wouldn't you say?
No, everyone I can pull see in, is
back
pulled in.
Pull in, back in, pull in, and then I think there's a back in. So it's like every other car.
I'm going to say in a general sense, it's 75-25.
It's not that. No.
Okay, we'll take a
55-45.
Go to your lot. If you're driving around now, look at the lot and tell me what's the percentage?
We'll take a quick sample. Mm-hmm. Chuck is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chuck. Pull in or back in? Who are you?
Hey, I'm a back in.
That's the
story behind it. Hey, reason being, years ago, my first job, I was backing out of a place I'd pulled in and hit somebody. That shocked me. So for 40 years, I've been a back in guy because of that.
See? Everybody has their reasons.
Thank
and that's
you for
a
the
good
call,
one.
Chuck.
It's hard to, even though we have the cameras and everything, see, I'm old school, man. The camera's there, but I like to look back. You know, I'm not with that, looking at the camera all, no. And my kids ask, well, there's the camera right there. I'm old school. You know, when my mom was driving and my dad was driving, you better move out the middle so they can see when they look back.
I'm going to quickly run through these texts. Jay from Laverne, always back in. It's easier than pulling in, but also you can just pull out when you leave. Most cars nowadays have backup cameras, so use your mirrors and the camera to back in. Gino says, D-Mace, you cool. Keep backing that thing up. Andrew says, no way I'm wasting the extra 30 seconds backing in. With a backup camera, there hasn't been a need to pull in this millennium. Dylan from Antioch says, mostly back in, but a lot of it depends on the angle of approach to the parking spot. Sometimes backing in is actually much easier. Eric in Buffalo says, I try to back into my parking spot as much as possible. Easier to leave your parking spot. Go Bills.
There we go. See? Willie. It does sound like 75-25, but the other way.
I do want to finish on Randy.
I think it's a vocal minority is what I'm thinking.
I want to finish with Randy. Randy
Most
says,
normal people just like, I got to get in the spot. I'm pulling in.
I want to finish with Randy. He says, back in, especially in a parking lot, so you don't have to back out when people may be behind me. Bet nobody does this. I am a diagnosed perfectionist. Seriously. I also have to be perfectly parallel to the line, even if it's an expansion joint in a driveway. I've made my mom move her car if she pulls in crooked to my driveway.
I'm the same way. I got to pull in perfectly, like in between the lines when I'm bagging in. I will, but 9 times out of 10, I've done it so much that I know angles of cars and parking spaces. So when I pull my car in, I know if I'm next to a SUV or a pickup truck or a little small, I know what I need to do and how far ahead I need to go. So
John in
I
Nashville,
perfected it.
John in Nashville says, I'm sitting in the Publix's parking garage, and from my truck that is backed in, I see 11 pulled in and 2 backed in.
Exactly.
That's because it's in a parking structure.
What?
I mean, is it in the parking garage?
Isn't every parking lot
people
a parking
scared.
Structure?
People scare when they're in the parking garage.
Team
man. You
pulling
know
over here. Who's with me?
I think it's pretty clear. 80% of the people
no,
are with
it,
you.
Oh, my goodness. Willie, how did you go to 80%? Everybody
the
that
guy
has
just said 11 to 2. That's over 80%.
No, we're talking about the people that have called their car.
Oh, so you're saying his text doesn't mean anything?
Exactly. He pulled in, right?
By
he
the way, in. 11 out of 13 is 84.6%.
But he right. pulled in, right? He backed in, right?
He backed in.
Okay, he backed in. Every other person that's called and text, they back in.
Right.
But then you get the 10 or so that
the
pulled
oddballs,
in.
The oddballs were excited about your question.
No.
They want to be with you.
They are not the – we are true. And when I mean true, we are true drivers. The ones that back in, we are true drivers, okay? Ask a NASCAR person.
I don't
person.
Think there's anything
I
wrong
with backing. I
guarantee
you a NASCAR person want to back in instead of pull in.
There's nothing wrong with backing in. There's nothing wrong with it. I just think most people don't.
That's because most people, I'm not going to even say that because then people get mad at me. But I'm saying it tongue in cheek. We all are lazy, man. At some point of another during the day, we all just get lazy. And we feel pulling in is the laziest thing we could do. So just do it. I do it sometimes, not off. I am a back-end person at least 90% of the time. The only reason I pull in is sometimes if the parking lot is two and people have parked over the line, so it'd take me a little bit to get in there, but I just pull in. Other than that, I'm backing in, man. Got to get up out of that thing quick. Or if I'm going grocery shopping, that's another time I don't back in.
Somebody mentioned on the text line, pulling in at the grocery store because your trunk.
That's the only time I pull in is when I'm at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Only time. See, there's moments and opportunities
One more text from Sonny, and I think this is a good one. People that back in make it part of their personality, so they are, of course, going to be the ones that call in.
I buy that. I think Sonny is dead on.
Listen, you pull in. That's a part of your personality. Pull it in. Right?
I'll tell you who pulled one out last night. The Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers pulled one out last night. 138-135 in overtime against the New York Knicks. And I saw a lot of stats to this effect, but this is the one that stood out to me. And I believe, Willie, you were the one who sent it to me. Over the past 27 NBA playoffs, teams had a 0-1,414 record. 0-1,414 when trailing by at least 9 points in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. Now it's 1-1,414 after the Indiana Pacers pulled it off last night. By the way, Tyrese Haliburton would have absolutely been a first ballot inductee into the premature celebration Hall of Fame had the Pacers lost that game because he hit that ridiculous shot that ended up being a two-pointer, gave the crowd the Reggie Miller choke sign, of course, but the game then went to overtime.
I think that may come back to bite him in the rear end.
Also, shout out to Aaron Nesmith.
Yes.
Proud Vanderbilt Commodore. Alum.
Goodness.
30 points. Whew. 8 of 9 from three.
Man, he single-handedly brought them back. The shots that he hit at the end, man. Once he got fouled, they didn't call a foul on a three-pointer. But the shots he was hitting at the end, it was like, why aren't y'all? And it wasn't as if the guys were in his grill. For some strange reason, he would have either a wide open three or a guy would be a step and a half away from him. And it's like, this guy done already made 3 3-pointers. Why are y'all not, you're going underneath the screen instead of trying to fight through the screen?
Again, 8 of 9 from three for Nesmith last
night. It was bad, man. It was bad. That Knick, I love the Knicks. And I wanted to be mad. Willie, I seriously wanted to be mad. But they're not my team. I like them, but they're not my team. So when they started to collapse, I'm like, I want to get mad, but I can't.
But the Knicks,
because this is the Knicks.
But the Knicks are like the Maple Leafs, who are like the Kentucky Wildcats. When things go bad, you want to turn on every New York radio station, every New York Knicks podcast. You want to hear how they react.
It is amusing. Yes. It is fun.
I'm sure WFAN up in New York is, I don't even want to know what's going on at that station.
The characters that we'll call are priceless.
But that just tells you in basketball, when you look at leads, I look at a 20-point lead with 6 minutes left, and I'm like, oh, that's nothing.
Again,
nowadays.
Teams were 0-1,414 in the past 27 NBA playoffs when trailing by at least 9 points in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime before last night.
But I think to your point, Derek, it does seem like even though on the surface, and Adam throws out the stat, nowadays it doesn't seem like it's over because, first of all, you can review three plays, you can call three timeouts, you can hit three threes. It could just turn in a hurry.
Exactly.
Turn in a hurry.
And that's what the Knicks game did. Even they're
good at keeping the ball from coming in bounds a lot of times. The team that's behind.
Yeah, and it's like, why?
I don't know why that's become so hard.
Yeah, it's become so hard. I guess, you know, things are a lot different. Athletes are a lot different. But even when there was like 3 minutes left and New York was up, I think they were up 14, you can start to see things change. And they had brought Brunson back in the game because he was in foul trouble, so he was out 3 minutes. But even at 3 minutes, they were killing the Indiana
Knicks,
Pacers.
The Knicks, I believe, went on a 14-0 run after Jalen Brunson picked up his fifth foul and went to the bench.
And they were dominating. And then the last 2.5 minutes, you just saw they wasn't hustling it as they were prior to that. You know, Indiana was getting the loose balls. They were getting the rebounds. New York couldn't hit free throws. And Karl-Anthony Towns had a chance to put the game away, really, if he hits both of his free throws and put him up four with like 20 seconds left. He misses one of the free throws. Another guy misses a free throw toward the end. The guard out of Villanova. What's the other guard name?
Josh Hart.
Yeah, Josh Hart missed a free throw down the end. It's like, dude, y'all talk about 80% free throw shooters missing when it counts. It reminds you of the New York Knicks of the past. John Starks, get to the line. Smith, get to the line. Miss free throws. It happens to the Knicks. Patrick Ewing missed a wide open a finger roll. You know,
oh, man.
It's just things like this happens to the Knicks. Reggie Miller beats the Knicks in the last 10 seconds. He hits 2 3-pointers in less than 3 or 4 seconds. Stuff like that only happens to the New York Knicks, and we see it once again.
Matthew in Nashville says, the Pacers played inspired basketball last night for Jim Irsay, who you know is smiling up in heaven. Of course, the somber news yesterday, Colts owner Jim Irsay died at age 65.
I didn't realize he was that young.
I was surprised by that as well.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was. I thought he was.
He's been in the game so long. His family has been in the game so long, you feel maybe that he was older than 65. But a complex figure is one way to describe Jim Irsay.
Absolutely. So I'm sure the Indianapolis Colts will, you know, have a decal, you know, on their helmets or jerseys or patch for him. I'm sure the season will be honored. He will be honored, sort of his life that he lived.
Is there an heir apparent to the family?
I don't know.
That will take over?
I believe
his father was the owner
who famously
moved them from Baltimore, so he's not very popular in Baltimore. But Jim then took over.
His eldest daughter, I believe, is supposed to
be basically in charge.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that is what the reporting is. And I thought that Jared said it well, and trust me, we'll get to Jared in just a few minutes. But Jared said this yesterday: I loved Jim Irsay's personality as a rival owner, and his Colts were always a problem for the Titans. I always loved how much the Titans beating those Colts personally irked Irsay, but the AFC South and the NFL won't be the same without him.
He was a great, I think, guy that was a good, adversary is a good word. Mm-hmm. Outspoken guy. Did his own thing, lived hard, and I think a good rival for the Titans, for sure.
Oh, so of course.
The personality of the team, I wonder where it will go from here.
Of course. I mean, I think, you know, it helped because of, you know, Irsay and obviously Peyton Manning, it helped build that rivalry between the Titans and the Colts. So I'm sure he will be missed. The organization will miss him. Where do they go from here? Does things change moving forward for the Indianapolis Colts? So,
quickly before we go to break, one texter says, the Knicks pull into parking spot.
Exactly. And then Indiana backs in. There we go.
I'm looking through some of these other texts that we did not get to. One texter says, Hair Metal Henry says, I'm being serious when I say this, and I'll try to keep it clean, but where the dog park is by HCA headquarters used to be a parking lot, and if you backed into a spot there, let's just say it designated which side of the plate you hit from. I actually backed in there and ate lunch one day. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Oh.
All right. I should have screened that text before I finished it.
I mean, okay. What's the next text?
What's the next segment, guys?
What's the next text? I mean, I'm not whatever about how he phrased it. I'm just saying I don't have no comment on it. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I think that.
I mean, he's entitled to say it. It wasn't like it was bad. I mean, he didn't say anything bad, but I have nothing to say about it.
It was one of those texts that you start reading it, and you're like, oh, this is okay. And as you... as your eyes get to where your mouth is supposed to go, you're like, oh, but I've already committed.
the words are already out. Right.
I've already committed to it. I've got to commit to it. 615-737-1025. We'll let you continue to text us, whether your team pull into a parking spot or team back into a parking spot. But speaking of Jared Stillman, he demands that we owe him and all of you an apology. Do we do it? Let's find out. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you out there to tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Scranton Wilkes-Barre at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and first pitches at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
I have a bone to pick with our Midday Show DVD with hosts Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, and Willie Donick. I believe they owe me and you an apology. And here's why I think they owe me and you an apology. Because yesterday, Brian Callahan got up in front of the media and he was asked about L'Jarius Sneed, and he said that L'Jarius Sneed is still recovering from the quad and knee injuries that he has been managing. And they took the cheese and apparently are still taking the cheese on L'Jarius Sneed's knee and quad. I have to believe at this point in time, most people, even the people that said, let Rand cook, even the people that ignored the fact that Minnesota pulled their offer when it came to L'Jarius Sneed because the medicals were so bad, even though the fact that we played cuts, Carrington Harrison, who does afternoon radio in Kansas City, was saying before Sneed got traded that the knees are worse than you think and he should just take the money and not try to negotiate for more. And you said, what's he know? I think even most of you have realized, yeah, this L'Jarius Sneed thing is a problem.
That was Jared Stillman yesterday on the Stillman & Company program. He warned us at the end of our show that he was going to mention us during his show.
I got so scared when he said that. I went home and I crawled under a table.
Exactly. I just didn't know what.
I got into my storm shelter and, you know.
Do you have a panic room?
I went into the panic room.
The Jared Stillman panic room? You would have to use that almost every day.
Jared's warned us that he's going to slam us on his show.
Jared. Oh, Jared. Wow.
So Jared claims.
Jared
claims that we owe him and all of you an apology about L'Jarius Sneed because we took the cheese on the Titans' explanation for his knee and quad issues. So, gentlemen.
Well, first of all, he melded about six different things into one thing. There's a lot of different aspects. It's the decision to trade for L'Jarius Sneed, the decision of what to trade for L'Jarius Sneed, the decision of what the contract for the new deal with L'Jarius Sneed was going to be, and then most importantly, the specifics of the injury to L'Jarius Sneed. What I have gotten all over Jared for, and I think Derek has been on by my side for this, is I just don't think it is ever right to speculate or assume that a person's injury that they're telling you is not the truth. Jared is connecting things. He's making assumptions. He's talking to doctors who haven't looked at and treated that specific person.
Doctor. Not plural, just one.
And he's molding it to shape this argument that he's made. So I apologize for nothing at all, even though I agree with certain things, certain points that he's making of the risk involved of trading for a player who has injury questions. That's totally legitimate. But to blend it all in there like that, the problem I have had is he is saying that what I look at as a freak injury that could happen to anybody at any time, taking a helmet to the thigh, he's taking a big leap to then take that injury, which is the reason he had to have the surgery, and connecting it to the bad knees and then connecting it to the incompetence of Rand Carthon. And he puts all of these things connected, and then you've got this long line of things. When we're just – my point is the guy took a helmet to the thigh.
Yeah.
And it was a – and it can be a very serious injury, which it was. And it's taking a long time for him to return to that. And so they definitely came up snake eyes on a risky move. So if I agree with Jared on that it was a risk to start with, but it's kind of a freak thing that he took a helmet to the thigh. So to speculate and to say that they're not being straight with you and all that stuff, I think that's over the top.
So if I have this correct, and if I don't, I know I'm going to hear about it. Jared thinks that the quote-unquote quad injury, in his mind, quote-unquote quad injury, is a cover-up for a knee issue. That the Titans are concocting this, again, massive cover-up to avoid saying Snead has degenerative knees. We should have known that all along. And now we're trying to cover our asses so that we don't look silly.
So he's making an assumption, which I don't think there's any evidence that that's true. He for a fact, does have knee issues. Then he got a knee to the thigh, and Jared's blending it all together.
Okay, you might as well just put this second right underneath Watergate, okay? Just put it second under conspiracies and things and people hiding things and everything else. Put this right underneath, you know, Watergate or any other, you know, thing that's been hidden and sort of found out and all this other stuff. So just put what Jared's saying in regards to his knee / quad. Let's just throw that right
so
in.
So what
there.
You're saying is JFK assassination,
yes.
Legereus needs
exactly. There we
on
go.
On the list of yeah. conspiracy theories.
Yes, right there. So we going to throw that up there. But listen, I'm like Willie. I apologize for nothing when it comes to this. I apologize for nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to apologize to the listeners for Jared, on behalf of Jared, that he made y'all think that y'all needed some type of an apology. So I apologize to you for that, because Jared is trying to convince y'all need some type of apology from DVD, which isn't the case, because you're not going to get it, because I don't think we said anything that would warrant an apology. Listen, when you're writing papers and all this other stuff, you got to cite, you know, things. They usually want you to give more than just one, you know,
footnote.
They want you to give more than just one. When you turn in a paper, you have one footnote. The teacher's gonna look at you like, serious? I need a little bit more.
I learned in journalism school, because I did attend journalism school, which Jared Stillman did not, and that's okay. But I attended journalism school, and all of the places that I worked for. Multiple sources.
Yes, cite multiple sources.
Jared
right?
Stillman is a one source show. He has made that clear.
And he does
that
not
isn't to say that he has been wrong about things that he has heard. I'm just saying that I am a multiple source type of person.
And that was my thing to Jared. I didn't say, Jared, go ask the doctor that did the surgery. Did I even stopped him when he said that. I said, Jared, that's not what I'm saying. I know you can't do that. That's against the law. I know you can't. But don't just go and ask your buddy, you know, and give him the information and then, you know, get an answer for him. Go ask somebody else. They may have a different answer for you. That's all I was saying. So I don't have to apologize for that. I just wanted you to get more than just one person, because you kept going to this one person, and I kept saying, well, did you go to someone else? I can't go to the doctor who did the surgery. I know, Jared, you can't go to the doctor that did the surgery. Go to someone else beside a buddy of yours, because typically when you go to a buddy of yours and you give him the information a certain way, he's gonna say, like your buddy said, Jared, well, based upon what, you know, you told me and everything, yeah, it would be this. But if you would have went and asked someone else, maybe they wouldn't have given you that particular response. That's all I was saying to Jared.
We knew, as Willie said, we knew that the Chiefs had to manage Snead's knee issue. He didn't practice much in Kansas City. But I saw a player over three seasons who played 48 out of 51 games for the Chiefs, played basically every snap in those games. And as Willie also said, it was a risk to trade for L'Jarius Sneed. None of us are saying it wasn't.
Mm-mm.
What I am not prepared to do is say, well, this whole quad thing is just an excuse for the Titans to cover up their tracks that they should have known better about L'Jarius Sneed.
No,
yeah,
I don't know
what he's wanting us to apologize for specifically, because he's the one that's got all the conspiracy theories, and
he just wants us to say it's a knee injury.
All the injuries together.
But that's what he wants us to say, it's a knee injury, when in fact it's a quad. And he, yes. But no. But he sort of, I don't know if he meant to do it or just slipped out. But he said at the end of all of that, he said, well, the quad is attached to the knee. Which means he could have had the quad injury that affected the knee that you already had to manage. Not necessarily that he had another knee injury. It's just now we got to manage this a little bit different, because we got the quad that's connected to the knee, and we want to make sure we take our time in bringing him back.
But I think part of Jared's argument, too, implies that Snead is a bum that doesn't want to play, that isn't trying to come back.
No, I don't. I'm not going to say he's – I think he's saying – the Titans are lying about the knee injury. It really was a knee injury and not a quad injury.
Yes.
And they can't say that because it was – they brought him in here and signed him knowing that he had a problem, or they had to manage the knee. I think that's what he's saying.
So I think the way to wrap all of this up, I turn to my spiritual advisor, Larry David. To quote Larry David – before his duel against Lin-Manuel Miranda in the season 9 finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm, quote, no apology is forthcoming. 615-737-1025. What do y'all think? Do we owe Jared an apology? 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon with a buy one, get one free admission. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, where parking tubes and sunscreen are always free. Get this great deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Tune into 102.5 The Game tonight for your SEC baseball tournament coverage. Listen in as number 4 seed Vanderbilt takes on the Oklahoma Sooners at Hoover Metropolitan Complex in Hoover, Alabama. First pitch is at approximately 6:30 p.m. Central. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Jared Stillman demanded on his program yesterday that we, Willie, Derek, and myself, owe all of you and him an apology for, quote-unquote, taking the cheese on the Titans' explanation about L'Jarius Sneed's injury. Josh from Nevada on our text line says, please just give him an apology or I'm going to have to hear about it for two straight hours this afternoon. That's probably true. I would be willing to make that sacrifice for you, Josh, to save yourself of 2 hours of Jared continuing to rant about this on Stillman and Company. Eric says, tell that nerd to go kick rocks. No need for apologies. I feel like nerd is something that Jared's never been
I don't think he's ever been that cool to be a nerd. And I don't ever think he's been that cool to be cool. So he's just like the guy in the middle, you know.
Dustin in Hopkinsville says, the Titans just out here using the board game operation to determine player injuries. That's the real problem. They throw Monopoly money at those players. Wes in Clarksville says, I don't care if it's a knee injury or quad injury. My problem is the Titans brought another injury susceptible player to be a number one player and paid him a boatload of money, and then he barely sees the field.
See,
I do want to point out one thing, Derek, that was the previous administration.
Yes. But they're Pat Brinker in this, too.
Right. Chad Brinker, that is true. Chad Brinker is a link to the past, as I like to call him, among other things, the supreme ruler of football. Chad Brinker is a link to the past. But one thing we have noticed in the early days of the Mike Borgonzi era, with all of the free agent signings, we talked about Dan Moore a little bit yesterday, Xavier Woods, among others, they play. They're on the field. they're available. So it appears that the new regime, at least the Mike Borgonzi aspect of it, will not be as susceptible, hopefully, to bringing in players with significant injury history.
Yeah, and I think Borgonzi, what he did this offseason, whether you want to say it was him, Brinker, I don't care. But I think what they did this offseason, that's what they wanted to emphasize, not bringing guys that have been injured or had injury history. Look at all the guys, or some of the guys, Zeitler, Lockett, guys that they brought in. These guys don't miss games. These guys are available. You know, last year, bringing in Cushenberry, he was available. Then he ends up getting a freak, you know, injury, and not a freak, but he just sustains an injury and he's gone for the remainder of the season. So they started last year with trying to bring in, well, this year, we're trying to bring in guys that were not often on the injury list in regards to missing games. So it started this offseason, and you just hope it continues. Now, even though they brought in a bunch of guys that haven't missed games, doesn't mean they're not going to miss games. You know, they can get hurt while they're here and end up missing games. Cushenberry, prime example. He was a guy that didn't miss games. What happened when he got here? He misses half the season because of an injury. So those things are going to happen. But I think the fans, it's not so much, to me at least, and I think this is where the fans are coming from. It's not so much of, you know, they think that L'Jarius Sneed didn't hurt the thigh. It's because of the past history, like the Titans. And even though it wasn't this regime, but the Titans haven't been clear when it comes to injury. The head coach has been dismissive, in a sense, when it comes to injury. Again, he told us about an injury to a first rounder, albeit it was a couple of years ago in Treylon Burks, some years ago. But he decided to tell us, basically as a dump, at the end of the week, oh, Burks had injury. I know Burks wasn't playing. I get that. Burks had injury. Okay, you just going to drop that in like that? Like, when did he have injuries? Today? I mean, surgery today? Oh, no, he had surgery last week. And you're just now telling us about this? This is not an off-season surgery. This is an in-season surgery. So when you do stuff like that, it makes the fan base and people like Jared, you know, sort of question, are you? And I get it. And I understand. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. But it questions whether, are you really telling us everything or not? But listen, we don't expect organizations to be completely upfront with us. We just don't.
And in my experience covering professional teams for as long as I did, you have to have a healthy skepticism.
Yes.
I mean, I have had coaches tell me straight to my face that they lied to me about something they previously told me. So I have a healthy skepticism about things that I hear from professional teams and college teams too. I have a healthy skepticism. So, but I'm not making the leap that Jared is about L'Jarius Sneed. So that's why, again, to quote Larry David, no apology is forthcoming.
Well, I mean, I don't think I deserve to, you know, hand out apologies, or I have to hand out apologies, or I feel I have to. I know Willie doesn't. So, Jared, you're not getting an apology over here. I think he knew he wasn't going to get an apology, but he just had to say that anyway. He knew exactly. Him knowing us, and he said, I've been knowing these guys for 10 years almost, if not longer. And you thought you was going to get an apology, especially in this situation? Come on, man.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
That's right. We don't apologize to you, Jared. You apologize to us.
Yeah, right.
That's who you apologize for us for being just so overboard with all this stuff. Apologize to us for being such a, like, overboard conspiracy theorist.
Have either of you watched the show Schitt's Creek? And I can say that because it's a show. One of the characters on the show who had a hard time apologizing, this was his form of an apology. Quote, I am remorseful over an action that I participated in.
That's Jared.
Which my wife says to me sometimes. But Yes, Jared, I have a hard time imagining Jared saying the word sorry. But
Jared has
he
not,
might be remorseful over an action that he participated in.
Jared has not, and I repeat, has not. Even though there have been occasions where it's just like Jared, like seriously, he will not utter those words out of his mouth when it comes to his job. When he's talking about his job. Now, when he's at home, I'm sure he'll say sorry to the girlfriend, and if he's done something to the parent, he'll do that on that end. But there's a separation, personal and business. When it's business, he's never apologizing.
I'm just imagining him on the air going, guys, I'm sup. I can't say that word. I'm sup. Oh!
You know what I mean.
I'm sup. Wes is in Hermitage on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Wes, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, guys, I mean, y'all kind of hit it on the head, but I mean, I guess I'm going to answer this question with the question. When was the last time this guy apologized to DBD or the fan? Or Legarius Sneed? Not that he's owed an apology, but I mean, it's just like, you can't demand an apology from another show when you literally talk about every show on this station. It's not how it works, man. Sorry, Jared.
you got your people coming at you, Jared. See? No, but thank you, Wes. Listen, I mean, he has his opinion on, you know, this Legarius Sneed whole issue. And, you know, my thing with him isn't, you know, the fact, because everybody knew when Legarius Sneed came in what he was dealing with, you know, the management of the knee. But, you know, sort of the silver lining was, well, he played all the games. He played the most plays. So obviously it's not to a point where he's going to start missing games. Okay, so you bring him in. You're managing him as a player. He doesn't have any setbacks in camp or anything.
Again, he missed 3 games over a 3-year span.
Exactly.
His final 3 seasons in Kansas City.
So if we're going by past, you know, we're going by what we've seen in the past, then it's like, okay, he's good. You didn't expect or anticipate that he would then have another injury, you know, during the season. My thing was, hey, listen, he can go out here and get injured. As long as it's not the knee, then okay. But he, you know, the quad gets injured. How? He said he took a helmet to the knee. I don't know. But he said the quad was injured, which automatically affects the knee. So I believe until I find out. See, sometimes I think it's hard for people to believe, like, what someone is telling, like, writes in their face. It's not. Well, when something else comes out telling you something different, then okay, then you can not believe that. But everything's pointing toward it was a quad injury. Now, did it affect his knee? Absolutely it did. I believe 100% it affected his knee and it set him back. But I don't think it started out as a knee problem. I think it was the quad problem, which eventually it did, you know, affect the knee.
Again, no apology is forthcoming. Sorry, Jared. I guess that's an apology. I'm apologizing for not apologizing.
Well, I mean, you can do that.
615-737-1025. Our weekly conversation with George Blaster is coming up next. We'll hit a lot of topics with George. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025-1063, The Game.